I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So he's been waiting to catch up with Joey Belladonna this morning. We talked to Scott Ian the other day, and anthrax has just been such a huge part of all of our lives in terms of, I mean, I remember seeing them at the Uptown Theater was amazing. Seeing them open for Maiden was amazing. And just over the years, the different albums and videos and what they brought to the metal world, it wasn't defined then. You know, there was the San Francisco, and then there was the New York sound, mm-hmm. and they really were not different, or they were not the same at all. But it was brand new, and it all came, it all happened about the same time. Metallica, you know, Kill 'Em All, and it happened, and Ride the Lightning, and Anthrax spreading the disease, and Fistful of Metal, and all of a sudden, we're these kids, and we had Priest and AC/DC, and Motley was already out. But man, this kid that lived up the street, who was a really, truly bad influence, but he taught me to smoke weed at a pond up the street. We could ride our bicycles, and we could listen to music on a whole cassette boombox, because he had a battery-operated one.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep.
And Ditchweed, I'm in. And that's who turned me on. His name was Richard. That's who turned me on to Anthrax when I was a kid.
Formed in 1981 in New York City, they, along with Metallica, Slayer, and Megadeth, are considered one of the big four of thrash metal. The band is Anthrax. And now, as the band prepares to celebrate its 40th anniversary this July, they're posting video testimonials, band history, and more on their website, anthrax.com, culminating with a live stream event on July 16th. Please welcome Anthrax lead vocalist Joey Belladonna.
Joey, how have you been, my friend?
Well, hello, good morning to you guys. Thank you very much for looking me up again. It's a pleasure. Well, before we go any further, I just want to, me and my wife want to give you a condolence over your beautiful, wonderful dog.
Thank you, man. I know we haven't spoken since then. Yeah. No, he was
Barger.
His name was
Barger, right?
Correct. Yes, sir. Yeah, he was beautiful.
So sorry.
Thank you, man. How are yours going? How are your dogs?
Well, you know what? I got one left, and she is, you know, she's got the harness around her. She's got some disc vertebrae problems in her back. So I got this cool harness that you can, you know, her back legs just don't, like,
God,
move as well. She can stand, but she falls a lot, you know, so I pick her up. You know, pick her up and walk her upstairs. It's a really great thing to have. Otherwise, it would be rough trying to get her around, you know.
If only people could love each other as much as we love those dogs.
I know. I get yelled at for loving the dog so much sometimes. It's just a bad, lovable habit.
Yeah, you know, I know, right?
Nothing. No offense. Just they're just easy to communicate with, that's all.
Sure. Well, we were talking, I was talking to somebody about this, about why we feel so sad when we lose them. And it finally dawned on me, I go, man, if a human being accepted me the way that animal did, it never, if a human being never made you feel upset or jealous or less than you were or any kind of insecurity, if they were always happy to see you, if every single time they looked at you like that and you lost a person like that, you couldn't live another day. You, I mean, it's almost like we have to be flawed just to survive losing somebody because it's too honest and too joyful and too good and too clear.
Yeah, I'm like, I couldn't have said it any better. It's just something about the love that they give you, and the, they're just there for you. You know, they love being around you. You know.
Well, one day I'll find another friend. It'll be the right situation, and I'll rescue another guy. But it, for now, you know, it just is what it is. But you know what? It's I'll tell you what.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hey, came to work with you every day. You know,
16 years.
It was one of those things. I mean, holy cow. He didn't have to stay home and wait for you to come home. I mean, my God, and I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry.
I love you for it. Thank you. You, but let me tell you this. Happy anniversary. 40 years of the band is pretty crazy. Who'd have thought in New York City when you meet these guys and metal is so new and not the flavor of the day? You know, we had Priest and Maiden and good metal bands from England, but we hadn't birthed our own yet. We had Motley and some cool glam rock hybrids, but man, when that moment happened, that changed everything.
Yeah, you know what? It's just, we had our own little niche, you know? We just kind of fell in our own pattern, and it's kind of great, too, because we really haven't bumped heads with too many bands. We got our own little, we got our style, you know, and that's what I love about it. At the end of the day, we got our own thing going, you know, and it's still true to this day the way we did it, you know, and the way we begin and the way we continued, you know.
Well, and I was such a huge fan out of the gate because it was new. A friend of mine, this guy used to, I think he gave me some of my first weed. He had a boombox. We'd go sit by this pond, and he had, his parents had a little more money, so he had money to go spend on stuff, and he brought Anthrax and played it for me, and I just, you were instantly hooked because it was so much faster and different than anything else. It wasn't so much blues based. It was that staccato ultra riffing that you were just like, Jesus Christ, who is this? And then Metallica I hear, and it just, the whole world changed for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, same thing. It's like when we do it, there's that kickstart that happens, that songs all kind of turn into this frenzy. And it just never fails. I love that. I can't get that anywhere else, you know? I really can't.
Oh, dude. And then Among the Living, forget about it. It was on.
I know. It's packed with good tunes, you know? It's funny when I look at we can do all those. I mean, we used to do the whole record. I mean, maybe not the whole record all the time, but we do a lot off it because it's just, they're really fun, good songs, you know?
Sure. Well, and it took you to see the world. You know, you're a kid grew up. You, what part of New York did you grow up in? Was it Queens?
No, I'm upstate. I never even reached the city. That's the thing. When I joined those guys, I mean, they're from the city, so I was the furthest thing from the city. I mean, Oswego, New York, if you look at it at the map, it's right on Lake Ontario. There's nothing out there. There's maybe 5,000 people. So I was just a good old hick living on the lake, you know?
What a crazy change up, though. You, I never knew this. Because you end up in Manhattan, which is insane. There's a whole world happening there, evolving from the punk rock scene. And so how did it strike you? Were you even turned on to metal? And what were you listening to prior to Anthrax?
I listened to just, I mean, so much stuff. I mean, my sister and me, we had records from Jethro Tull to The Who to Led Zeppelin to Beatles to Crosby, Stills and Nash, Chicago. You know, even to this day, I'm still doing a whole bunch of, you know, A to Z type of stuff, whether it be Ambrosia to Iron Maiden, you know.
Sure.
I love all kinds of stuff. I love singing, all those types of things. My musical genre is wide open, but I never was like a thrash, the only metal that I was listening to before I came to them was really, would have been Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, you know, that kind of hard. You know, you could just, or yes in Kansas, that kind of fusion, kind of hard, melodic, but not quite commercialized
right.
type music, you know, and I still listen to that now because it, you know, certain things just kind of click in your ear and you just can't get away from it. I just love that kind of music, you know.
I finally bought another turntable, and, you know, because everything had been digital over the last decade, and I got out and I still had my Persistence of Time album and Among the Living, the original vinyl, and got it out the other day and put it on. It was still, it had to be cleaned a little bit staticky, but it just sounded, it takes you back. There's, it sounds different than when you download it. It's a different sound no matter what anybody says, and it instantly transports you back to when you first had it.
Yeah, and still, until you put that on and start comparing stuff, because even when I get stuff on Apple sometimes, I'm like, what's different? This sounds different than the album that I remember, or even the CD. Things change, you know, regardless of the MP3 setup. There's different things happening, and when you put the album on, it must be really awesome to just pop that on, you know?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, if you don't have a turntable now, you should absolutely get one, because it is a ridiculous amount of fun going back through all this music again.
Oh, I have the old Techniques. I got the nice.
Nice.
I don't go to it as often as I'd like, because, you know, it's like I'm on the fly. So, yeah, but I have the albums. I have the turntable. In fact, we got some mini thing that's going to come out, too. It's going to be a mini, I can't explain it. It's just a mini turntable type cool thing.
I saw it. It's fantastic. Okay. I saw it online. There was a little blurb about it, a teaser about it, and I saw it like 3 weeks ago. I can't believe I forgot about it until you just mentioned it. You guys got so much stuff happening. You've got the 40 episodes of the Anthrax 40. You've got, was it the graphic novel that's coming out?
That's pretty cool, huh? That's nice.
And you guys have always, you've always mixed illustration, graphic novels, great, like, you were the first metal band I ever remember really diving into that comic book world.
Yeah, it's been a thing since the beginning. It's just trying to tie everything in to make it, you know, fit your needs. And this happened to really come across a great idea. It's tying all the musicians and, you know, the camaraderie and the verbal banter that we're, you know, bringing it across to each other and sharing those stories, it's special. It really brings it even better than just a comic book, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's, and this will sound really weird, but in all truth, I was a pretty, like, ADHD student. I wouldn't pay a lot of attention in school, but I loved music and I loved lyrics. So all of a sudden, Anthrax was covering, you know, songs about Indians, and they were talking about the Native Americans, and I'm like, why are they saying this? So I would literally go out, and I'd finally actually pay attention. Or you talk about songs about, you know, like Schism and Nazis and what, the closet, Skeletons in the Closet, and it made me look at history differently, and honestly, got me interested in it.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about it is when you sing about that kind of stuff, you really have a full story in your head, and you can just take it where you want to take it, and just see the vision of it all. I know it's only, you know, 4 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is, but you really can take that and just run with it, you know, and it's cool, and you just use your imagination, you know.
Well, isn't that what I've always loved about all music, is especially, and that's why we still talk about it, old country songs that would tell a story, because it was always more fun to listen to the story build when you were a kid.
Yeah, and half time, early in the days, I didn't even know what anybody was saying. I just loved the way it sounded.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So you start listening to lyrics.
Right.
You know?
Well, listen, I can tell you, man, it's always great to hear your voice, man. This last year has been so weird for everybody. And for musicians, like, you lose a year off your, we all have a finite amount of days on this planet. So it's got to be incredibly hard, you know, to lose that time where you could be performing.
Oh, you know what? It's been nice for the most part of it, because it's just, you know, you had to just do what you had to do. But at the same time, everything shut down on you, so you were just done. You know, even now, I still don't know when to leave and do anything. So we're still in that mode yet. You know, some people are free to go, and some of us are a little too on the fence.
Well,
and it's really restricting. It's tough, but it's been a real hard time. At the same time, I get gather my thoughts and feel normal, but it is a bit strange.
I've missed.
Sorry for all the people that have gone through such hard time. That's really the main thing. It's just to see people get out back on their feet
right.
and live their lives a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've missed live music so much, and I think, you know, once we all get vaccinated, it'll be fine. Or those who want to be vaccinated. Me, I ran to get it vaccinated. I don't care what's in it. I just need to go back out, walk about the world, hug my friends, you know, go back to New York City, travel a little bit, get on an airplane, go see things I haven't seen before.
Yeah, we just got ours the other day, the second one, so.
Congrats.
You know?
Congratulations, yeah. Matt.
We're moving to the next phase now.
I don't know if I'm the only weirdo, but I'm not kidding you. When I got that second vaccination, Joey, I honestly felt like a genuine sense of joy. Like I was relief, and I was like, yes, we're back. I'm like, I'm ready to go somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, you're safe. You're safe. Move about the cabin. You know, you're all set.
Yeah. So what do you do? By the way, are you still doing your journey? Was it Journey Beyond?
Yeah, I got some real cool, you know, we're working on some recordings so we can be like a normal band and put stuff up on the site, you know, maybe do a video. And, you know, we've got interest in playing shows or just trying to figure when and how, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, the band's still together and, you know, we record at home. Everybody's all in different places at the moment. So, yeah, I can't wait. We only did one show, so we can't wait to do it again because it's gonna be fun.
So
great band, so you know.
You've seen the documentary, the journey, Every Man's Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh my God, I cried like a pussy, Joey. I can't even tell you why. I got so caught up in that kid's story. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a great story. You know, I just like the music. If people ask why the hell I do it, you know, I just like the songs. I've liked the band forever, and I just wanted to do it because I think it's a cool challenge, and it's just fun music, you know. And I can't think of many bands that I like to do a whole evening of without trying to dress up and do everything they do. Just want to be a band that plays that music. I don't care about the whole, you know, look-alike type stuff.
Right.
It's just about music. That's really all it is, you know.
As a singer, you had to feel for that, the Arnell Pineda. So if you don't know, when the band lost its original singer in Journey, and so they're looking, they're trying to figure it out, and they find a video on YouTube of this kid. Well, he was in the Philippines, and he was poor, had really no future. He would do five or six sets, a night? And they literally bring him to the United States, and you just think, how is this ever going to work? This kid can barely speak English. Like, how's he going to get up in front of an amphitheater? And it's a little struggle at first because he's so over the top, but he settled into the pocket eventually. But were you watching that going, whew, it's tough.
Yeah. Good for him, man. It's just it's a great thing. You know, it's a tough gig, too, just as well, you know.
Well, and he was a huge Steve Perry fan from the word go. As soon as they put the camera on him, he'll tell you, like, he's just everything he loves about that band is Steve Perry. And even though he replaced him, or he's the next singer, he showed him so much honor and love, and just he was happy to even be there.
Yeah, I know. I'm partial about that. It's a cool thing. You know,
yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. Well, listen, Joe, I hope to see you guys soon. Yes, sir?
I hope that we get to see you soon. And hey, football season's kicking in. What about the Chiefs anthem, man? We got to get some Johnny Dare, push, man. I got to do a Chiefs anthem one of these days. Now, don't forget.
What a great idea!
I'm looking at you. I think you got the pull. You got the pull, man.
How great would that be to have Joe Belladonna from Anthrax come in and do it? That would be fantastic.
I do them all the time. I did the Seahawks a couple of years ago. We did Buffalo against Philadelphia and Buffalo. I do a bunch of anthems. I just love doing it because it's a lot of fun and it's a great afternoon. It's just the atmosphere is really, really great.
I love that. Here's a weird story, Joey. So through a friend of mine, I'd met, Bill, of all people, Billy Ray Cyrus, who turns out is an incredibly nice guy. He comes into Kansas City after I'd met him, and I get a call to go out and have some dinner, and he's got to go to Arrowhead Stadium to sing the anthem. And I'd never been on a field like that, down on the field, with that Monday night feeling. And I mean, it is a different world. In a million years, I could not have understood the pressure inside that place.
Nothing like it. I mean, I think that's probably the most nervous I get. It's short-lived, but it's, I mean, think of Seattle. I mean, that place is just jammed with 85,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's, Yeah, I love the Duquesne City. That would be kick ass. It's Arrowhead, man. It's
sure.
Home.
Oh, dude, I would love that. You know what? I'm definitely going to throw it out. I do have some friends in that world, and I mean, I'll definitely pitch it for you. I'm behind it 100%.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm not holding you to it, but that's we'll do some work on our end too. But hey, you got the inside story. Everybody knows you, Johnny.
Oh, don't make me love you even more.
You're a big deal there. Big deal.
I love you, man. You're such a wonderful guy. Thank you. Thank you for wearing your legend so well.
Thank you so much. And I want to give a shout-out to Martine and your mom. We're thinking of you. So I just have to say that Kansas City girl is just,
nice.
Just thinking of, God. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Have a great day. You guys have been so kind to us. And thanks so much for offering us these special days with you guys, It really means a lot. Can't wait to see you guys.
Same to you, my friend. Hold on. What a nice guy.
He's an incredibly nice guy, top to bottom.